Hey, Song Sound, welcome. Today we're going to talk about 10 melody mistakes that scream amateur songwriter.
Come on. All right, start us off. What's number one?
First of all, I want to explain why we're doing this.
Okay.
Because we did a video last year that was kind of similar, but the comments we got is hundreds of comments were like, why don't you guys talk more about melody? So I thought we'd do a version of that video and only talk about melody.
All right. Very good.
Without disparaging amateurs. That's not what we're trying to
do. Or lyrics.
Or
yeah.
Or anything.
Nori.
Or commenters. All about positive love.
Yeah, that's right. One love.
So first I want to talk about line direction.
All right.
So there's three basic types of line direction. There's a static melody that just kind of goes across like that. Mm-hmm. Then there's melodies that start low and go high. And then there's the opposite, melodies that start high and go low. So a lot of times when we're reviewing songs in Songtown, I hear a lot of songs that keep the same line direction throughout the whole song. And it's really, really hard to hold the audience's attention when you do that, you know, because we're big on contrast. So I just wanted to demonstrate. Okay, here we go. We're going to start high and go low.
Drop it on down.
Drop it on down. I like writing notes that wander down. All I know is that I like that sound. Even when I hit the chorus, I do the same, yeah, of course I don't change. I just go down. And that's nice, you know, throw out the words because we don't
care about the time you got to the chorus, I think you were starting to bore us.
Yes. So now let's do that same melody in the verse. And then when we get to the chorus, I'm going to take it and go from low to high, flip it around. I like writing melodies that wander down. You can say that I'm addicted to that sound. But what if I take it up high? What if I change direction? What if I take it up high and before I come on down again? A little more variety.
Much better. 5 stars.
Not bad for coming up with something on the spot.
No.
I think you've got a good idea about number two.
On failure to repeat. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and this is something I have been guilty of many times. You know, my first publisher would say, your melodies feel really stock. And what he meant was like, I would hit something that sounded really cool and I would never go back to it.
Yeah.
And they were very static, like you talked about with the line direction and that kind of thing. And so one of the things I've had to learn is how to better identify what's something cool and how should I do it again.
Yes. Yeah, somebody told me early on when I was writing, a hook is not a hook unless it's repeated.
Right.
And so what we mean by that, throw me out a lyric line, just anything that comes to your head.
I want to go back to your hometown.
See what we do. I wanna go back to your hometown. What was it again?
I want to go back to your hometown.
To your hometown.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I wanna go back to your hometown. I wanna go back and look around. So what I'm doing is da 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 da. Da, da, da. Then I repeated it. Da, 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 da. But a lot of times what you're talking about is we'll hear something cool on that first line. I wanna go back to your hometown and take a look around. See what I can see. Some other things. It's like, what is going on?
It's yeah,
like
it's
every line is different. Mm-hmm. So I wanna go back to your hometown. And I wanna you can go somewhere different.
Yeah.
And you don't, I mean, none of these are like hard and fast rules. Mm-hmm. You could sing one line, sing another line different, and then go back to that first line. So your form would be 1 and 3 mm-hmm. instead of 1 and 2. There's all kinds of ways to do it.
Yeah.
But the point is, just don't make every line of the song different, and then people are going, what the hell is going on?
You know? It's like, well, and another mistake in that department is that you could go, I wanna go back to your hometown, and look, and just you keep on doing
right.
it. But it was nice that you did it twice, and then you got off it, and then you came back to it.
Yeah.
And that made it really catchy. What's number three?
Number three are rub tones. And we actually talked about this in a video a few episodes back. Mm-hmm. So, Ashley, play that segment, and we'll let you take it from here. I'm going to call this rub notes.
Okay.
Start this off by playing the first line to that Lewis Capaldi song, Someone You Love.
I'm going under in this time. I feel there's no one to save me.
I love that song.
I love it, too. So let's talk about rub notes. I call rub notes, Marty, there's two places in a scale. So if you got a C scale, 1, 2, 3, 4, between the 3 and the 4 is a half step. 5, 6, 7, 8, between 7 and 8 is a half step. So over the years, I've learned that if you have melody spots that focus on those half step intervals, they're more emotional. And the main reason is because they're kind of dissonant. Mm-hmm. So this idea hit me, and then I started listening to songs going, are people doing this? And this Lewis Capaldi song is a great example. He saves that rub tone between the 3 and the 4. He saves it for the chorus of the song. So the chorus is his most emotional, hard-hitting spot of the melody. So he starts the verse off. I'm going under, and this time I feel there's no one to save me. It's very pentatonic. Da, 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 da. There's no rub notes going on. Da, da, da. It's kind of open. Then the pre-chorus. I need somebody to hear, somebody to hear. It's also very open sounding. But then when he gets to the chorus, Ashley, play the first line of the chorus.
The day bleeds into nightfall.
So now he introduces that 3-4 rub in the melody. Now the day bleeds into nightfall. So that, that half step. The day bleeds. That half step interval, he doesn't use it in the verse. So he brings it in the chorus. That's why when he starts singing that chorus and it hits you, you're like, why is it? Is he singing emotionally there, mm-hmm. but there's something more to it. So if he's saying something, now the day bleeds, he could sing his heart out, but it's not as emotional as now the day bleeds. You know, mm-hmm. so it is about which notes you choose. And I've just found that putting in that half step rub in the most emotional part of your song supports that lyric and really makes it hit harder.
Awesome. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
All right. Number four is only singing chord tones. What do you mean by that?
Yes. Only singing chord tones is basically, for instance, if we have a G, there's 3 chord tones in G. G, B, D. So when you're writing a melody, a lot of people stick to those 3 notes that are playing in the chord. Instead of doing things, there's so many other notes outside of the chord. For instance, that would be the 6th. That's not in the chord. Do, re, mi, do, do, da, da, da. So if I was to write a melody, hitting a chorus would be even that's outside of the chord. So learning to experiment with notes that are not in the chord, I could have gone, da, 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 but I went, da, 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 da. So I keep hitting that, da, da, that's outside of the chord. Da, 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 da. Even that, da, 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 is a much cooler sound than, da, 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 da. So it's just experimenting with things, the notes you aren't playing with your hands, you're singing with your voice against it.
Gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love how interesting it is when you hit those notes. It instantly pulls your ear to like, well, what's going on here?
And it makes your song stand out as opposed to, like the other day somebody was going, oh, in country music, you can't use major seventh chords. So I put on a Morgan Wallen song and I'm like, he's got major seven chords all the way through this song. And that song stood out because it had major seven chords in it. And he was singing major seventh notes in the melody, whereas other writers are going, oh, you can't do that. That'll break a rule. You know, like nobody does that in country. You can do anything you want. You just have to make it work.
Yeah.
And I learned that lesson the first time I got a chance to produce a major label album on Danielle Peck. We're in the studio, and I had gone from producing a lot of demos with great players, demo players, to all of a sudden working with guys that were on A-level doing records. And I noticed the biggest difference was I could ask them to try something, and the demo guys would half the time resist. Oh, that's not going to work. What if we do something like this? The record guys just found a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that showed me, like, wow, you can do just about anything. You just have to figure out how to make it work.
Right.
So being open to doing chords and doing melody notes that other people aren't doing is going to make you stand out. It's going to make people, well, wow, what was that?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, number five.
Number five, not setting up the hook. So, you know, we talk a lot in lyric writing about setup lines. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way with music lines. Is, say, for instance, if your title is at the end of your chorus, that line right before that, I want to try to get as far away musically, melodically, chord-wise as I can from that payoff hook that's coming afterwards. So, for instance, if I was to do my Darius Rucker song, Don't Think I Don't Think About It, pay attention to the next to the last line of the chord. Don't think I don't think about it. Don't think I don't have regrets. Don't think it don't get to me. Between the work and the hood and the whiskey, don't think I don't want it back. Could've been, should've been all worked out. I felt and I know what I said. Don't think I don't think about it. So I know what I felt, I know what I said. I'm holding that note out and then boom, don't think I don't think about it. So the theory here is I have a very choppy title. Don't think I don't think about it. So then I want to smooth out the line before it. Know what I feel, I know what I said. Don't think I don't. If you just went, know what I feel, I know what I said. Don't think I don't think about it. If I just plowed right into it, then it goes by and it's like, oh, okay. But by setting it up properly, you get, it's kind of like you get the punchline of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
The better you set it up, the harder the joke hits, you know, when you do the punchline. So same kind of philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times I'll hear songs where the title almost feels like it's thrown away melodically.
Yes.
You know, like it feels like the rest of the chorus matters And then here's this thing at the end that it either goes by really fast or melodically it just kind of falls off.
And that's what we don't want.
Right.
Because the title is the most important line, so you want people to feel that. Right. You know? And lyrically, you do the same thing. We try to like even have an opposite concept in the setup line. So like, even if the whole world has forgotten, the song remembers when. So you have forgotten, remember, and you have that contrast.
Yep.
So it's the same thing with melody.
Yeah. The number six is triplets, and I have some friends that are triplets, so I want to see what this has to do with them.
The redheaded triplets. What's their name?
Taylor Red.
Taylor Red. Cool. So let's go back. Throw me out a line. What was that line about the hometown or something you had?
I want to go back to your hometown.
I want to go back to your hometown. I want to walk around and look inside of them. That's nice. Dun, 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 dun. But what if you throw in? It kind of adds a little bit more emphasis to the words. It takes you somewhere different. It adds variety to your melody. Because the worst thing today you can do with melodies is just make it feel the same all the way through. You know, and so triplets, no matter what genre, pop, country, blues, rock, classical, triplets give you another way of adding contrast in your melody. And it's something that when we hear song after song come through Songtown, I don't hear a lot of triplets. Do you?
No, very few.
You look like you were about to go to sleep.
No, I was reading the next thing on our list. Can you tell people what the triplets were in that example? Like, point out exactly what piece that was.
I thought I did.
Well, you alluded to it.
I didn't do it very well.
Yeah.
These are just... Okay, so let's start off with... I'm gonna sing some straight notes. And now I will... Dun, 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 dun. Those were triplets. Triplet, 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 triplet.
There we go.
And then there's slow triplets. You could go triplet, 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 triplet. These are just some straight notes.
I like your fast triplets better.
And of course, I'm just forcing them over this right now. You know.
Yeah.
When you're writing, you want to make them sound more natural, but I'm just trying to demonstrate that. But basically, triplets are, if you're counting one, two, straight notes are one and two, and but triplets would be three over that two. Triplet, triplet, triplet. Three over the one, or three over two would be triplet, triplet. So in the span of two beats, you put three.
There you go.
Or in the span of one beat, you put three triplet, triplet, fast triplets.
Yeah. All right. Number seven. I've heard you talk about this one a lot. Again, it's something I've been guilty of a lot, but same beat of the bar.
Yeah. So every vocal line entering on the same beat of the bar. And in fact, we talked about this in a prior episode. So Ashley, cue it up. One thing I see over and over, and if you're a Songtown member, you've probably heard me mention this. I see a lot of people starting practically every line of their song on the same beat. For instance, if just making up something here. So if I'm going to start before the downbeat, my guitar is the downbeat. So you don't need no makeup. So I'm starting one, two, you don't, I'm starting on beat three. Mm-hmm. And if I do that every line, and hey, you know what you can do? I've got kind of a idea for a verse. Maybe you can come up with the first line of the chorus.
Ooh, I'm
putting them on the spot. This is how we co-write.
He has not played me this either. I don't know what he's going to do.
You don't need no makeup. crazy how you wake up smiling that perfect smile, looking like you do now. Chorus.
Baby, you're natural.
Yeah, so see what you did? You started on beat three, the same exact beat as every line of the verse.
Oh, no.
So what was
what
the line again?
What should I
again?
Have done?
What was the line again?
Baby, you're a natural.
So if I'm starting the verse, let's just, if I'm starting the verse on beat three, let's come in after the downbeat.
That's just crazy.
For the chorus.
All right.
So, babe, you don't need no makeup. Crazy how you wake up. Smiling that perfect smile. Looking like you do now. Baby, you're a natural. Baby, you're a... So then we have some variety.
Maybe that's why most of my melodies sound the same, because I'm coming in at the same place on everything.
Yeah, or you could come in, say your verse could come in after the downbeat. Because what happens is, if you come in before the downbeat, you create a sense of urgency. So often I find when I'm writing melodies for verses, I'll come in after the downbeat in the verse, then I'll come in ahead of the downbeat in the chorus, and I've created some urgency. Like, let's try that, for instance. One, two, three, four. You don't need no makeup. One, crazy how you wake up. Smiling that perfect smile. Looking like you do now. Baby, you're natural. So when I hit that chorus, I'm coming in ahead of the downbeat. The verse was all behind the downbeat. So it gives a little urgency to the chorus.
Right.
And so my point is, I hear so many songs time after time where every line of the verse and every line of the chorus comes in on the same beat. So what I purposely try to do when I'm writing, if I write a verse and a chorus, I'm not thinking about this consciously, but after I finish my verse and chorus, I go back and look and I'll go, oh, I'm starting both of these sections on the downbeat. I need to vary one of those sections.
Our number eight is vocal phrase lengths. One thing that I do with my lyric sheets and when I'm mentoring people is I look at the right-hand margin of their lyrics. And if it's straight down, I'm like, we're in trouble here, because that means pretty much everything's probably going to have about the same number of syllable counts.
Right.
The phrasing is going to be very similar. And so I like to see a lyric that really has some variation on that right-hand margin.
You want it to look like curves.
Exactly.
You want me to demonstrate something like that?
I would love that.
Give me a line, a vocal line.
I want to take that goodbye back.
I want to take that goodbye back. I want to down, 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 down.
What's the next line?
I
want to take that goodbye back.
Don't know why I ever thought about that.
I want to take that goodbye back. Don't know why I ever thought about that. Dun, 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 dun. All of these lines are the same length.
And they're boring.
And they're boring. Now that one was shorter.
That's right.
So if we go, let's change it up this time. We'll do two the same, and then we'll maybe hit like a chorus. I wanna take that goodbye back. Don't know why I even thought of that. Don't know why, don't know. See, I can tell you.
Oh, my girl, I'm sorry.
Girl, I'm sorry. Oh, no, no. For what?
For the next line, for the shorter line. That I hurt you.
Okay. I wanna take that goodbye back. Don't know why I even thought of that. Girl, I'm sorry for breaking your heart. And dun, 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 tearing our world apart. And...
So those are shorter phrases.
Girl, I'm sorry.
What did you say? Girl, I'm sorry.
I broke your heart and...
Girl, I'm sorry. I broke your heart and...
I want to make things right.
Mend it right. Da-da-da-da. Soon-da, 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 do-da. I don't want to know, no.
This would be a longer line. We go back to the verse.
I wanna take that goodbye back.
Now it feels like we're back in a new place.
Mm-hmm.
After, so we went from real normal kind of lines to some short phrases, then to like a long kind of melody, and then you go back to the verse and it's like, oh, now we're back in this nice spot again.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to every line being the same. And it's like second verse is here, and you're like, okay, next, turn the station.
Yeah, exactly. Number nine is verses too big. What do you mean by that?
Man, I hear this a lot. Take somebody like Adele. When she sings a verse, it has a very small vocal range. And then when she hits her chorus, she starts singing really high, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. But imagine if Adele sang a whole verse of high notes. When she gets to that chorus and she starts singing high, you're like, eh, she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But half of her secret is the way she writes her songs.
Yeah.
So it's learning to not get too big in your verse. For instance, if we have, let's go back to. So if your chorus was. You have any lyrics for that?
Are we on a different song or with this?
Different song.
Okay.
Oh, we could do the same. Let's borrow some lyrics. Girl,
I take my goodbye back. Don't know why I thought of it.
So if that's our chorus this time around. What if we had a verse and the verse was
da-da-da, 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 da-da-da.
So my verse, I'm singing the same high note.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really hit. But imagine if we're down a verse, what would be a good opening line for a verse for that?
I ain't been sleeping nights these days.
Ain't been sleeping nights these days. Dun, 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 dun.
Walking around in a haze.
You're borrowing from one of my songs.
I'm stealing.
I kind of like that melody there on the. It's a ninth in the melody, or a two, however you want to say it. Good. What was that line again?
I ain't been sleeping nights these days.
I like that.
I ain't been sleeping nights these days. I'm walking around in a messed up pace. I don't know.
Now it has some development,
right?
Because we started out doo-doo-doo-doo, and then we hit the chorus. Doo-doo-doo. So it has a little bit of development to it.
Yeah.
And you know, none of these are like hard and fast rules we're talking about. But it's just when we hear so many songs that never incorporate any of these things into them. And they just kind of leave you feeling flat, you know?
Absolutely. All right, number 10.
Number 10.
Only listening to one genre. Why is that a crime, Clay?
Okay, so you and I have written with hundreds and hundreds of great writers over the years, Hall of Fame writers, hit artists, indie artists, artists of all genres. And it just, it always seems like, in my experience, the best artists, the best songwriters listen to a lot of different kinds of music.
Yeah.
Even if they're known for one genre, say if they're known for country, if all they do is ride around in a pickup truck and listen to country music all day long, when they put out their next record, it's going to be boring. So the thing about music is learning to take from everywhere around you, borrowing from all kinds of genres. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing new, like Ray Charles, one of the greatest early soul rock singers. He caused a big commotion in the world because he took gospel feeling music and put secular lyrics to it. And it's always been the artist that can blend genres, that blend styles to create something new. Those are the people that make a big difference.
Yeah.
Even if you're known for being hardcore this, if all you did was listen to that, then you would be boring. You wouldn't be bringing anything new to the party.
Right.
So I always want to bring a new dress to the party.
Me too. Yeah, in our master classes that I just got finished teaching for lyrics, we studied lots of pop songs and lots of country songs and songs that are R&B because we wanted to look at what are the techniques that they're using, not only musically, but lyrically. What kind of forms and what kind of rhyme schemes. And you can learn a lot from different genres. It gets you out of your box.
Yeah, and in fact, shameless plug, Mastering Melody Writing. In that book, I trace back all the way from classical music to today's music, and they're basically all using the same techniques. Singers are different. Singers' attitudes are different. Production is different. But when you break down basic elements of melody, it's all very similar, no matter what decade you're in, no matter what style of music you're in. Now, there are some things that, you know, you can listen and say are stylistically fit one genre more. But overall, most of the things that people do in music and melody, from what I've studied, can be carried over from genre to genre.
Yeah, and the singers are different because they would be 1,000 years old
if they were still singing classical.
Yeah, if they were still around. Yeah.
But how old would Mozart be?
I don't know. Old. I just picked that number, 1,000.
Yeah.
Are we done?
We're done.
All right. See you next time.
Cheers. Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.